All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Can you see it? Did you know
this? Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams Lee.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes, beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! Public display. His ambush in me. They slay the dragon. Hideous
existence. Existence. Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation. I am so glad to be back, first of all. But second of all, we are presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. And we got a little sale going on at Zephyr Epic Quads. Have you heard about this? Friday, August 13th, just around the corner, we'll be in here recording while Zephyr's online selling deals to folks. The Summer Splash Sale will include all the brand categories they have in store, sports as well. And they've decided the percentage for each category will be 20, 30, 40% off.
Wow.
Some real big summer splash deals over at Zephyr Epic. And we're also delivered by the great folks over at DoorDash. Use promo code, and I'm going to get this right, ConvoDD.
Yes.
That's ConvoDD, capital C, capital DD, ConvoDD. I'll get you 25% off your first order with free delivery. I think I nailed
Absolutely.
That.
You did. You did great.
The problem with the ad reads is like, I'd rather just talk about them because I use DoorDash. And you know what? DoorDash is my favorite delivery. Of course, I told you it's Popeyes. It's on there. But I got myself a couple little cards as well in the mail coming here soon.
Cards?
What rookie card do you think I started?
You didn't double down on all the Olevi.
No,
did
I
you?
Didn't. Oh, okay. Actually, maybe I should. But no, really? I went with the new one that we talked about last week from the extended series. I got myself some Jack Rathbone rookie cards coming here soon.
Really?
Jack Rathbone, baby. I got the rookie cards. I said this on the show last week when I was here, and we'll get to last show in a minute here.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a good mood right now, but I'm about to be in a bad mood. But we talked about the only thing that's a letdown is it's just this, it's just like the headshot of him in the jersey, which I feel like that's a tough look for your rookie card that like everyone's going to be after. Yeah. And it's just you and your like they had enough time to get a picture of him.
Did they? Do you know that?
Well, they extended it like series wasn't even released that.
Yeah, when
long
did it
ago.
Release?
Maybe a month or two ago.
Huh. So they did have time. They did have time.
A little bit of a letdown for me.
What? Okay, so what would your ideal Jack Rathbone rookie card be? Like, what freeze frame are you getting?
I guess you're
designing the card. Upper Deck tells
maybe
you
maybe the little jump from the line.
I was
how
gonna
nice
say,
would that be?
Yeah, like, I was gonna
both
say
feet
that
off the ice.
Yeah, or
jumping over.
Little curveball. I don't think the young guns. Actually, there's a few young guns that are horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. maybe you get one of him laying down on the ice trying to break out McDavid and Draisaitl.
I was gonna say you get a two. Like if they were able to get like a picture with from the back, like seeing Draisaitl's back and McDavid's back and Jack Rathbone defending, that would be a good shot. But the problem with that shot would be that the goalie would also be in the shot.
Mm.
And speaking of goalies.
Good
segue. We got to talk about what the hell happened
okay.
on Friday's
okay.
recording that came out on Saturday. That was an embarrassment to not only the show, but to hockey podcasts
you
in general.
You give me 3 days notice that you're leaving. Like
that's
you,
plenty
you
of time.
Casually drop, hey, by the way, you need a co-host for Friday.
Plenty of time.
Scrambling. PJ couldn't do it. JD Burke couldn't do it. And Woodley's listening to this, realizing he's the third choice. But you told me not to get Woodley.
There's like a couple more names, I think, before Woodley.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. But you told me. You said, don't get Woodley. Don't have a bunch of goalie talks. And I was like, okay, like that's fine. So eventually it had to be Woodley.
Name of the freaking podcast was N. Bradshaw Talk, which was talked about for about 15 seconds of
it was
the show.
Longer than that.
Maybe
we talked about
20.
Team defense. That's Bradshaw, by the way.
Which somehow evolved right back into the goalies again.
We're gonna hopefully talk a little bit more Bradshaw on this week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Hinting at something. Maybe in a future week, we'll have some more things to talk about.
I think
about.
There'll be a lot of Bradshaw talk coming up soon.
I hope so. I think you might be right. But back to this, okay?
Yeah,
back to this, the goalie.
I'm coming back from Whistler. Had a few drinks the night before,
yeah.
And I just want an easy listen as I'm driving back. Girlfriend's just, you know, relaxing, kind of sleeping on the way back.
Yeah.
So I put on the podcast. I didn't make it through 4 minutes.
Oh, get out of here.
I didn't make it through 4 minutes, and I said I can't listen to this with her in the car because I'm so mad. I had to listen to the podcast driving home by myself after I left
wow.
her place.
Okay, you act like it was a horrible episode, but there were so many people that reached out and were like, hey, don't let Faber bully you. This was a good episode.
Yeah, it's, how many people? Name them on. You could count them on two fingers,
six
probably.
Six people.
Yeah, they're all probably listening to InGoal Magazine podcast, too.
I had more people reach out say they liked the episode than I did that they didn't, so.
Well, I guess I had the vice versa.
I probably have everybody else blocked. So. Yeah,
exactly. I had a few people. I had quite a few more people on my side, I felt like, in the replies.
Whatever.
But
look, man, don't leave me alone on 3 days' notice, and this wouldn't happen.
That was the problem. I left, and you didn't even know who your host was the day before.
Yeah, because you gave me 3 days' notice.
That's lots of time. I would have found a host.
I give you like a month's notice.
And the funny thing was, we talked about this actually when we left. We're like, damn, why'd we have Harm on the midweek show when he should have just filled in for Friday?
I know.
Like, we can't ask him to do like two shows
yeah,
a week
exactly.
for us.
Yeah.
We have to start paying the dude.
Oh, jeez.
Man. Yeah, that was a tough listen for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe other people enjoyed it a little bit, but I can't do goalies for that long.
That's fair.
This is why I don't come to the Kevin Woodley interviews.
Yeah, but I didn't think we didn't go on that long. Like, we did go a little bit about Halak a little longer than
you
should have.
Barely talked about the... So you have the goalie guy in. You have
we
Kevin
talked
Woodley
forward
in.
Lines. We talked
no,
defense.
You
we
have worked. You got Kevin Woodley in here, the best guy to talk goalies about. You spent 5 minutes talking about the starting goalie is going to play 75% of the games. You talked the whole time about a no move clause, which actually was news to me about the no. That was the only thing I got.
Same
but
here.
I could have got that from the freaking title of yeah. the episode. You guys spent so long talking about Yaroslav Halak and all this thing, and then you kept asking questions like, "Well, how does Mikey DiPietro get in?" And then Woodley's like, "He can't, Dave. He's got a no move clause." You're like, "Well, there's a situation where he gets in
yeah,
here,"
we,
and then
like,
Woodley's
talked
like,
about it.
He's like, what are they going to do? Dave, hold three goalies on the roster? And you're like, good point, good point. I'm like, what the hell? You guys spent, and then every single other like topic that you brought up somehow got back to Halak. It's like, how is this all coming back?
And I talked about that. I went off, and then we were like talking. It was like, I was like, you think that like they might trade him? And he's like, yeah, but if they're winning down the stretch and in a position like they're not going to want to trade him. And I don't know. Basically, we talked more off air about Halak than we actually did on air, which
that is hard to
shocking.
Believe.
Yeah.
But, and then there was a certain point where somehow you guys are talking about who's going to be USA's freaking goalie at the Olympics.
Who do you think
you're on
is?
The goddamn Canucks conversation talking about USA's goaltending?
Well, it might be the
group.
Canucks starter. Chris?
Yeah, well then talk about him. You didn't talk about Demko at all the whole time.
I
did enjoy
Demko.
The Mikey talk a little bit. There's some, you know, because you just spoke with Mikey and you had the story and all that.
Let's move away from the goalie talk.
Well, you want to talk about your goalie article?
It was an article. You can go read it, CanucksArmy.com. To Mikey. He's a confident
in the end,
kid.
I appreciate Woodley filling in, but that'll be the last time Kevin Woodley fills in as a co-host. I'll be saying that. I'm putting my foot. I don't put my foot down a lot on this podcast, but I'm putting my foot down right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very bold. Very bold choice.
So we'll figure out another co-host for next time on the show. And guess what? We're not going to talk any goalies. We're going to spend this whole episode talking about prospects quads.
Nice. I'm sure people will love that. People, you know what? Someone messaged me.
No, don't.
Someone messaged me and said, hey, you should give more goalie prospect updates. Faber's prospect updates are never actually anything important. I was like, wow. And then I was like, if you don't think those are important, wait till you hear what the goalies are up to. Yeah. Like someone asked about Matthew Thiessen. It's like, I haven't heard Matthew Thiessen's name once in any conversations I've had with anybody. So
I don't think Matthew Thiessen's a part of the organization anymore.
Well, he's unsigned. They still
have
his rights.
You guys talked about the freaking backup goalie in the AHL for like, I know. For like 10 minutes.
We didn't even bring up Spencer Martin.
Yeah, you did.
Did we?
Yeah, you did. You went through the whole organization of goals.
The whole depth chart, just looking at
everybody.
There
was a Jake Kiley shout out at one point in the episode. He's not even going to be with the team.
Oh, man. Jake Kiley's a nice guy, though.
He is a nice
good
guy.
Good dude.
All right.
Let's break down his stance.
No, that was the worst part, was you guys breaking down goalie stances. Anyways, we're moving on from this. I got my takeout. I'm in a great mood. I'm in an excellent mood. I was telling you before this, we just recorded a long Patreon episode. I'm in the mood to talk. It's been taking a show off was so nice. Just taking a show off was really nice. You'll have to do it one day here soon, especially after that performance last week. You kind of earned one there. But we got to get into some of the recent news. I guess right off the top, one of my favorite things to talk about, I guess the most recent news we have is Olia Levy signing the one-year deal.
Yeah.
Comes in at $750,000. That's, you know, a league minimum for a one-year deal. And I like the deal in the end. I mean, it's
absolutely
it's a good spot for the Canucks to be with the cap. The fact that he's making less than guys like Rathbone, less than guys like Hunt is where I kind of want to start, because the way that I'm starting to see things leaning, it's like, I know Jack, and we've been talking about this for a long time, and you're one of the biggest Jack Rathbone supporters, but do you not get the feeling that Jack Rathbone's going to be the odd, like he's going to be the ninth defenseman looking in, even though he might not be the ninth most skilled defenseman?
Yeah.
I feel like his situation, and if Brad Hunt is not that much worse or even like better than Rathbone is at this camp, like Rathbone, we were penciling in him and you were putting him in pen for the roster for the starting six. I mean, I was penciling him there too at the left D for number three on the pairing, but I wonder if he's going to be the guy that gets sent down because there's no waivers for Jack Rathbone. Like I think they're getting towards that direction a little bit, and it might not be the worst thing because he's going to get a ton of time in the AHL. Number one guy, number one power play.
And he's just down the road. He can get called up if they need him.
Any minute, and they can send him right back down and up. And every, like, it'll be easy for Jack Rathbone to be jumping up and down and playing a lot of games, which is good for a guy who needs to develop a little bit. But you look at what he did in the AHL last year, he doesn't need AHL tuning, right? Like he looks like he's ready for the NHL. So I'm wondering, are you still, you know, putting him in with Black permanent marker for day one being the third defenseman on the left side?
I'm not. And I kind of want to bring it up to you of why that's not the case anymore. And I was just thinking about this a little bit, not on air or anything or in an article. I was just thinking about it. You know how we've talked a lot about stylistic play of all of these guys on these pairings and how there's a primary puck mover and how we kind of look at Tyler Myers as being the odd man out, not being the guy that moves the puck, or he wants to be the guy that moves the puck, and he can't be that if he's on a pairing with Rathbone. He just can't. And I looked at it and thought to myself, okay, well, like, who is? Who can you put on the left side to play with Myers? Because Myers isn't coming out of the lineup.
Oh, you're coming around.
Think about it. Myers isn't coming out of the lineup. Nope. Myers isn't going down to the A. So Rathbone, again, you've got this guy who, And if you think I'm about to suggest Olio Levy, you're out to lunch. Olio Levy's not a Olio Levy's not the defensive defenseman that can hold down a pairing. Like Tyler Myers was having to cover for Olio Levy.
For him, he doesn't have to be the primary puck mover. Like, and you're talking about stylistic fits all the time here. That's exactly what you're talking about. Olio Levy doesn't need to be the primary puck mover.
Yeah, but he can't be the main defender on that pair either. Like he can't be the defensive defenseman.
If that pairing is playing similar minutes and similar matchups to what they did last year, and that's how you're using your Levy. If your Levy's getting 13 minutes a night, he's going to have to kill penalties. Like that's what he's going to have to do moving forward.
But I get it. But now they have guys so that doesn't have to happen, right? They have former Burnaby Express defenseman.
Damn.
Brad Hunt. Did you know that he played for the Express? I didn't either. Did you know that? I just pulled up his hockey.
You didn't see him playing in the... When was he playing in the...
Wow, this was right around the time. So when I was in elementary school...
You were probably going to some of these games.
Yeah. Burnaby Express used to like come and play play like hockey with us in our school gymnasium. I bet I've met Brad Hunt. He's 32. So he played from 2006 to 2009. That would put him, I think. I should have kept his hockey DB page open, but I think it was around that time. So yeah, those are my prime elementary school years of floor hockey playing days.
I loved when they came. You know what I did one time? The BCHL Nanaimo Clippers came to our elementary school. I dangled a Clipper so hard in floor hockey one time. I was going around with the puck. I had the ball on my right. I'm a left-handed guy, so I have it on my right hand. Just the ball, one hand on the stick. And I was going up to this guy to go, like, make a move on him. And, you know, they go pretty easy on you. So it's not like they could, you know, really defend me or, like, hit me. I was going around him, and he was just standing there. I put the ball around his body with my right arm. And then I grabbed the stick from the other side of his body, took that and went in, and people went nuts. Wow. It was like the sickest little dangle. I like handed the stick to myself around the player and dangled him that way.
How old were you at this time?
Probably, this must have been grade 6 or 7.
So you were as tall as the player?
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I brought this up the other day. I was looking at my baseball roster for some reason when I was 13 years old, because I remember playing, it was Nick Pivetta was pitching for the Red Sox, and I remember playing against him, so I was seeing if our stats were still there. Their stats weren't there, but the roster still was. Everyone on my team is like 5'3", 115, 5'4", 135, and then it's me. I'm the only one who's 6 foot. I'm 6 foot, 195 pounds, and I was like 12 years old. I was like, oh my gosh. It was, yeah.
You, as somebody who was on the other side of that, you were the guy that me and my teammates would always point at and be like, whoa, how old is that kid?
Pretty much.
How is that kid here? This guy just came from wrestling bears, and now he's here to hit bombs off us.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was true. It popped off the roster when I found the roster. And then I looked and they had stats. Nick Pivetta's team that year beat us 28-3 in one game.
Oh my gosh. In a six-inning game,
they beat us 28-3.
Oh my goodness.
It was bad. Okay, let's get back to Brad Hunt a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Because Brad Hunt's not like a big defenseman who's like defensive mostly. Like
no, he's more of an NHL defenseman than Yo Levy is.
And probably more of an NHL, maybe, like that's the big
exactly.
question.
I'm not even going to disagree with you that, because like, I know you're about to say Rathbone. Yeah. I'm not even going to disagree with you because, yeah, he is.
Right?
Like
yeah.
He has more NHL experience. I think if you're Travis Green, you're trusting Brad Hunt more than you're trusting Yo Levy or Rathbone on a third pairing, and you're not sending down Yo Levy because they're worried about losing him in waivers.
That's the battle at camp. It's Yo Levy's not even in the equation for the battle. Unless he comes in and has a really good camp, which
he
might.
If he can pivot.
And if he, you know what, they're going to give him a shot with Myers at a certain point during camp.
Yeah.
But that's not like the battle that we will be keying in on. The battle that we're keying in on is Hunt versus Rathbone, because whichever one doesn't win the spot is getting sent down, because I don't think the Canucks are... you know, screaming if they lose Brad Hunt. They might lose him in waivers, but if it's at that time, that date where everybody dumps their guys down to waivers, I don't know if Brad Hunt's popping up the list to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might. Like, I think there's a chance he gets picked up by another team because NHL experience, the guy's played in the NHL for the last handful of years. He might get picked up, but like, I'll take this to another degree. Who do you think gets picked up? Like, who's more likely to get picked up, Yo Levy or Hunt? Because you're going to have to send...
Remember that when you pick someone up, you got to put them in your lineup. Like, you can't just pick them up and not play them. Like, they got to play. Is there any team that's chomping at the bit to put Yolevi or Hunt in their lineup?
The problem is GMs love high draft picks so much. That's what makes me think. Like, I know that the league's getting smarter. You know, there's a lot more analytics being involved. Yeah, yeah. People know about, they're going to know about Yolevi's injury history. It's not the same as it was 10, 15 years ago. But still, if you're drafted that high, I feel like somebody's going to take a shot on Yolevi.
That's what I was going to say, is I think Yolevi's probably more likely. And even with that contract, like that's a pretty nice contract to be adding minimum, to your cap. Yeah, exactly, right? So I would say, yeah, like I think it's Yolevi. I think Yolevi's more likely to get selected. But
I think so too.
The other thing I wanted to mention, Chris, because you said, you know, he's going to get a look with Myers at some point during camp. I think that's true. But remember, this training camp is only 3 days long. Like, I know you and I...
But seven preseason games.
Yes, exactly.
Big difference from last year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there is some time there, but that's what's been so crazy. Like, the past two training camps that you and I have covered, they've been, like, 2 weeks long, and these guys don't get sent down.
Straight into the season, yeah, or straight into playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very different now to actually have preseason games, because you learn a lot more about what your players can do in the preseason, like way more in a preseason. Because what were they going off before? Scrimmages against each other?
Exactly.
Where you were.
Zach McEwen looked like a first line player.
Yeah. I mean, now you're actually going to get preseason games that matter and matter for a lot of these guys. Like, we're not going to know much from, we're not going to know the same amount at training camp that we have in the past couple of years.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or at least like year and a half, like with the bubble training camp and then this past.
I think the preseason games are going to be really good for them. I just don't know. Like, is it going to be Yolevi and Myers? Is that your third pairing? Like, do you, because those guys weren't great together. Do you explore Yolevi with a guy?
They were good together in very limited time. They had a positive goal share.
I know the limited analytics shows that they were good, but I don't know. Eye test was just otherwise.
The only thing I would argue against it from like a lot of the analytics point is like, yes, they had weak matchups. They didn't play against top six guys. They rarely played against top six guys. But they very rarely played with top six forwards.
That's a good point.
They played with a lot of fourth line players in the Canucks. They played with a lot of third line, but mostly the fourth line. Like a lot of the time when Myers and Yolevi were on the ice together, it was with the Canucks fourth line.
They were playing with the Coyotes' current second line. That's what they're playing with.
Yeah.
Coyotes' current second line.
Yeah, pretty much. Man, I'm so excited to
watch
the Coyotes
play
the Canucks.
I am so pumped to watch some Coyotes games.
I wish the final preseason game was Canucks Coyotes.
It'd sell out. Would you,
especially at Abbotsford?
Have you seen how much tickets are going for? By the way, someone told me, because obviously we don't check ticket prices much anymore, but someone told me you do?
Yeah, I've been seeing them on the Facebook group. That's the best way for it.
Yeah, okay. So someone was like, "Yeah, it's like $300 for like a lower bowl seat."
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe that's just on like Ticketmaster. I don't know.
I just saw this like this morning. It was like the first post that came up when I opened Facebook, and it was like, some guy was selling a ticket to a preseason game for like $60 second row.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like $60 per ticket second row, but preseason. So a lot different than regular season is going to be, you know, to people to get back in that building for like the first regular season game at home is going to be huge. So, I mean, the thing that's going to be interesting to see with this team obviously starts with what they're going to be able to do with the defensemen out of camp. And I think the toughest part is going to be the battle between watching Yolevi go against a Brad Hunt, because it's a weird battle, because we talked about it, that the stylistic fit between Tyler Myers and Yolevi does sort of make sense. I know you don't like to hear this at all, because, you know, Brad Hunt probably is the better NHL player on day one, but also the case that I have to make about Olli Yolevi is that I still feel like there's time for Yolevi to develop. Like, I think he's 23 years old. And this past year was the first time where we saw Yolevi actually healthy. So if he's had a good offseason work, he comes back in healthy, I'm expecting to see a better Yolevi at this camp than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think everybody wants to see Yolevi develop. Like, I feel so bad for him. Just, it seems like the injuries is the thing that really has held him back. And I might want to remind you here, remember that camp right before the bubble when he had some time off? He was just, you know, it was COVID. Nobody could really go out. He was just able to get healthy, work out. He was doing well. Comes into training camp, had a really good camp. Like, he caught the attention of everybody. I wrote about it. I was stoked to write about that. I was stoked for that. Made his debut in the bubble. Played okay. Played like six shifts. Then it was just this season when he was, you know, given a bit more time and was asked to be a bit more of a regular. It just, I just didn't see it from him. And I wonder if we see another, you know, he had COVID too, right? And that hit him hard. And when he came back, he was definitely worse after he had COVID, which I don't think should be a surprise to many. But I think realistically, we have a chance of seeing a reinvigorated Yo Levy, similar to how we did going into the Edmonton bubble at this training camp.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of time off before they came back, you know, and played last year's bubble and stuff. It was nice for him to get that extra time off because I think he still had an injury that AHL season.
Yeah.
Like, and then he had going into the bubbles, but then this year he gets a little bit of extended break, comes into the season, but still just a different offseason. This is going to be a regular offseason where he's fully healthy. Yep. And I still think last year was a big step for Yo Levy. Like, being healthy the whole season and playing NHL games, how many people wrote off Yo Levy saying he would never play any NHL games?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I saw the poll question for Halford and Brough today. Will he play more than 40 games this year? Will he play over 40 or under 40? It's going to be interesting. It's going to come down to what he does in camp. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd still probably lean towards under just because of the other left shot defenseman, and you want to get Jack Rathbone in if he earns the spot. And I think he will. Whatever he does at camp or at the AHL level, you have to get him NHL games, I think, at some point.
I also wanted to mention, and this was a point I kind of alluded to earlier, but Travis Green, I think he was talking to Drantz, don't quote me on that. He did say that they want to make the decisions a little sooner at camp so that their team can gel together more. Listen, not having any preseason games really hurt this team last year. You don't have to look hard to see that, right? Like, right away, right from the get-go, couldn't get their feet under them, and it really came back to bite them in the standings. Like, when your top line isn't performing because they're not meshing well together, and, you know, like, Brandon Sutter was scoring goals at the start of the year. It was the bottom six that was performing well, and people were starting to ask questions about the core and the top six. And now, like, not to sound overly positive here, but I've talked time and time again about these matchups with Horvat and how he's going to benefit from having more of an offensive role. I don't anticipate the top six not getting going to start the year is going to be much of an issue. I just don't. I don't think it's going to be an issue. With that in mind, I also think that because they're having these preseason games and because Travis wants to get his lineup, you know, like, they have seven preseason games. I would anticipate by the third or second to last game that we're seeing the version of the Canucks that we're going to see on opening night.
Yeah, I bet that we see in those first, like, three or maybe four games, I bet you see each of, you know, Hunt, Yo Levy, and Rathbone play with Myers.
Yep.
Or maybe Pullman, right? Because I don't know, a lot of people have been talking about, and Drantz is obviously talking to Travis Green, probably gets a sense that Pullman's going to be the guy to play with OEL. I'm still not 100% sure that that's what I still think that there's a chance Myers plays with OEL. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that because, you know, it's a scary defensive pairing, but we'll have to see in the end. We spent a lot of time on the defense here. On the other side, we got our poll question, which for once is tweeted out before the show. You had a little bit of time today.
Waiting for my food from DoorDash.
Waiting for your food, waiting for me to come drive back from the ferry there. So yeah, it's been we got a poll question to actually get into on the other side. So we'll start with the poll question on the other side. Then I talked to a lot of prospects. What's the word? A need? I don't even know the word.
Oh, you threw me off now. I think it's a need. I think it is.
Yeah, I talked to 9 prospects and actually got a couple more today as well. So we'll get into that on the other side. We'll get the poll question started, then we'll get to some prospects on the other side. And I can guarantee there will be maybe 1 minute of goalie talk on the other side because you have a little update on one of the prospects. But you guys stay along for the ride. We're going to throw to a quick ad break here, and we'll get to prospects and the poll question on the other side. All right, folks, that's right. We got a new ad finally here for Parallel 49 Beer. You want to get down to the street kitchen, folks. It's more than just a street kitchen now. Now it is a full-on beer gardens. Absolutely beautiful. You've seen Quads and I tweeting about it. The food's amazing. A ton of beers on tap. Quads as well. You've had not only beers, but what other drinks did you like there?
Had the Muddler's Pink Lemonade. That was very good. You need to go get the food, though. The food at the Parallel 49 Street Kitchen, ridiculous. What did we eat that one day? Poutine, cheeseburger, Well, I ate it all. Waffle fries, and then we got those Korean barbecue wings.
Yeah, the spicy chicken burger, that's my go-to. But delicious. What you do, a little trick for everyone, you swap out the jalapenos for their pickled cucumbers. Very, very good. Highly recommend that. That's down at 1950 Triumph Street off an East Van. That's parallel 49 at 1950 Triumph Street. Check them out in East Van and go down and try some beers and be sure to get some food down on that beautiful patio.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
Squish Beverage, my new favorite drink of the summer. Absolutely crushable. The right drink to bring down to the beach, the right drink to bring down to the river, camping, whatever you're doing this summer. Squish is the beverage for you. They have original hard seltzers and a bunch of different flavors, but the lemonade ones, those are my favorite quads.
Me too. I can drink more than one of those. They're crushable.
Which is good. So when you go down to the beach, you're bringing how many?
More than one. Unlike last time.
Absolutely. This is the hard seltzer for you. This is the hard seltzer for summer. Go out and try Squish. You can find their original flavors of hard seltzer at BC liquor stores. But if you want to do a little bit of digging, that's where you're going to find the lemonades. My favorite. And you can find those at private liquor stores all across British Columbia. You know, on my little Whistler vacation there, I didn't have Squish, but I did have some Parallel 49 beer.
What kind?
I had Trash Panda and I had some Peach Bod.
Very nice.
Trash Panda doesn't say that it's like a fruity beer, but it's just got a nice little hint of fruit.
A little fruity afterbirth.
Trash Panda, yeah, and that's one of the OG beers, I'm pretty sure, from Parallel 49.
That was an Office reference. I don't know. Maybe someone didn't catch that and thinks I just really don't know that much about beer that I would call it a oaky afterbirth. I think that was the line from The Office. Great show.
That's a good IPA. All right, let's get into the poll question. Poll question. Your business, your poll question. Which young Canucks player will have the most successful season in 2021-22. Vasily Podkolzin, Nils Höglander, Jack Rathbone, or I'm Angry?
That was a pretty good poll question. Who wrote it?
You did. I even had a poll question written out too.
Did you?
Yeah, it was all prospects because I didn't want to do any goalies. I was just going to do prospects.
I said this on the Patreon, patreon.com/CanucksConvo. $5 and $10 here gets you all the bonus content. We recorded one right before we started. I said this on the Patreon, but I was going to do a poll question that said, when did you start listening to the show? Because we've had a lot of new listeners, welcome, over the past little bit in the off season here. So the options were episode 6 with Botch, because I know that was when you got your first kind of like spike in listeners.
First 1,000 listeners.
Yes, exactly. This off season, and then I was going to say like the pre-bubble or during the season. I think those were the four options. And then I would have had to fit I'm Angry in somehow. But yeah, I'm curious. Shoot us a message on Twitter. Just reply to the episode, tweet. Let us know when you started listening to the show. Because I'm interested to find out. Because we have a ton of new listeners right now. It's great.
Yeah, the biggest jumps we ever had on the show were when we did the week after Botch passed, the episode that we did then, where I had 9 people on tell stories about Jason, that's still by far the most listened to episode we've ever done on this show. Nothing's even really come close to that. That was the best podcast I've ever put together.
I listened to that. I was still just a fan at that point. Right, it was great.
Yeah, no, you're still a part-time. You're my Sven Berchi back then.
Yes, I was your call-up.
But actually, you did get called up, so maybe you aren't Sven Berchi. But yeah, that one, and then some of the mega episodes. The mega episodes used to do really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
We do like 9 or 8 guests just on the show, episode 25, episode 50, ones like that. But this poll question, where are you going with? Which young player will have the most successful season in 2021-22?
Somebody replied and said Elias Pettersson, and then in brackets said him and Rathbone are the same age. Which that was a bit of a mind frick,
yeah.
As our friend Caleb would say. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I have to give credit. Okay, it was Ken Henderson. I went to the poll question to find out who it was.
Long time listener. Ken's been listening for a long time. Exactly. Ken's been listening before the Quadrelli era.
Yes. Yeah. I hate to just say, oh, this guy on Twitter without finding out who it was. So yeah, Ken
Especially
Henderson.
A long time listener.
Like exactly. Long time supporter.
Is it Krusty027? Is that
something like that? I put my phone away. When you said
I got
that.
It. I did. Yeah, Krusty027. Nailed it.
Yes, to answer the question, though, I think it could be Nils Höglander. I also think there's a serious chance that Vasily Podkolzin takes that. Jack Rathbone is probably the guy I'd rank third out of those three guys in terms of having a successful year. Look, I think Vasily Podkolzin is going to be put in a position to succeed. I think it's going to be very similar to what we've seen Travis do with other young players where, you know, much like Höglander, much like Pettersson, he's just going to be put in a position right away. Someone added me on Twitter and mentioned this, and I don't have their username, so sorry to that person, but they said, does Travis sit Podkolzin for the first two games, similar to how he did Brock Besser?
No, there's no chance he does that to Podkolzin. You know how many times Podkolzin has been sat already as a pro? He doesn't need that anymore. He's already had that in the KHL.
And I think the reason that that would happen, and you know, let's go back. Besser was taken out, so Canuck legend Derek Dorsett, who actually is like was one of my favorite players. So Dorsett could get in. And the Canucks won both of those games. And people were like, oh, Travis Green's a genius.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's obviously because Besser wasn't trusted defensively. I don't anticipate that's going to be the case with Podkolzin.
No, not at all. And that's what I wanted to ask you about. When you say that Vasily Podkolzin has, I'll give my answer in a minute here. But when you say Vasily Podkolzin has a chance to be put into one of those situations, I'm assuming you're talking about being on Horvat's line.
Yeah. I think there's a chance he ends up there.
Because, like, why do you like the fit with Podkolzin there? Just the bigger body, you know, similar kind of play style to Bo Horvat, and that line's going to get hopefully easier that matchups than it has in the past.
I think.
You know what was interesting when I was doing some research the other day on just kind of the second line? I actually wrote an article for Canucks Army seeing which player makes the most sense to play with Horvat and Garland. And Horvat didn't have the hardest matchups on the Vancouver Canucks last year.
Who did?
It was Tanner Pearson who had the hardest matchups last year. Well, he spent the most time playing Bo, against the top line. Spent a lot of time with Bo for sure, but the time that Bo was away from Pearson, Pearson was actually getting more of the matchups. That's why I think that Pearson still has a chance to be on that second line. Like, I would love to see
depends how they use it, man.
I think that's the question. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're putting him on a third line, which I feel like we talk about this every single week, you put him on a third line, that's kind of what you're going with Pearson. But who is the most used center with defensive matchups? Because I think that answers your question. It was Horvat. Okay, yeah.
Horvat had the toughest matchups for the centers.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
It wasn't even close. Like, people are like, oh, Beagle had the matchup. Beagle didn't have that hard of a matchup even last year. A lot of bottom six minutes against. But it was Pearson that kind of shocked me that forward was, you know, had the toughest matchup to the Vancouver Canucks last year. So I think wherever Pearson goes is going to determine which line is going to be the matchup line, because it makes a lot of sense for him to be on either.
Yeah. Right?
Like, honestly, it does. Like, people don't want to hear, like, people want everybody, every single, like, you and I, every Canucks fan, like, you know, probably like everybody in management, all the scouts, everybody wants it to be Nils Höglander for Vasily Podkolzin playing with Horvat and Garland. That's the most exciting thing. That's the young kids coming in and making an impact. Vasily Podkolzin, like, let's not forget, these two kids are 20 years old. Podkolzin and Höglander are both 20 years old, and they might be playing in, like, either or is what people are excited to have in their top six. But if that Horvat line, I still see there's a real strong chance that Pearson's going to be there. And, like, I don't want to see it. Canucks fans don't want to see it. But it might be the best way to use Pearson if you want to have the Horvat line still take a lot of tough matchups. And what that does to the line, like, people were saying, you know, Jason Dickinson's like an offensive black hole. Like, oh, Dickinson's a defensive guy. He can't do anything offensively. Very similar numbers and same production offensively to Brandon Sutter last year. Obviously, he doesn't have the goals, but the on-ice offense, very similar from Dickinson to Sutter. If you surround him with guys like Höglander and Podkolzin, it only goes up.
Yeah.
Like, look at I'd have to look this up to see the forwards that Dickinson was playing on, but looking at the role that he had with the Dallas Stars, I don't think it was offensively gifted players like Nils Höglander, who was second in 5-on-5 scoring last year for the Vancouver Canucks, and Vasily Podkolzin, who I think a lot of people are underrating what he can do offensively. Like, his ability, the only question that you kind of have, if it is a third line of Dickinson, Höglander, and Podkolzin, is like, who's the finisher on that line? Like, it kind of has to be Höglander.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Unless you're getting playoff KHL pods who scores a whack load of goals at the biggest moments.
Yeah.
And, like, it's possible. You know, it's going to just be interesting to see how that line plays, because that's the thing that you loved about Höglander so much was somebody asked in the mailbag this week, Do you expect like a Höglander sophomore slump? And it's like, maybe if he was doing everything, like if Höglander got all his goals by doing the lacrosse goal or all of his goals from shooting on the right side or something like that, maybe. But Höglander had like the most scattered shot chart on the Vancouver Canucks last year. Shot the puck from anywhere on the ice. Was a great passer from anywhere on the ice. Made exceptional plays like that one that he made the pass, the one-handed dive over to Pearson. This kid can do a lot of different things so well. And I think that's what you're getting with Pod Colson as well. So to get back to the poll question now, I think it's going to be Pod Colson, man. I think Pod Colson is going to make a bigger impact than Nils Höglander. I know that's not the way the poll's going. I think it's like 60% right now are saying Nils Höglander. But I'm so, like, I've seen Pod Colson play so much. I watched him at the KHL at the same time for a year and a half, the same time that Höglander was playing in the SHL. And Pod Colson just looked so much better.
Yeah.
Like when Pod Colson was on the ice, he made such a big impact. And I think we're going to see that next year. And if you just take it down to like who puts up the most points, it might be Höglander. Like it might be Höglander putting up more points than Pod Colson. But I think on a night in, night out basis, the two-way impact that Pod Colson is going to have is going to be, it's going to blow people away. If he's able to translate to the NHL, which I'm very confident he can do, to see what he did as a teenager in the KHL, so impressive. And not only like, something like you'd see Kucherov in the KHL and it was like, man, like this guy can really score. He has a real good potential to score. But I don't think that there was the same people looking at the two-way game and being like, oh, this is going to get him in the NHL. His two-way game is going to be it. With Pod Colson, that's it. Like the impact as a whole that Pod Colson is going to bring, I think is going to be bigger than Höglander next year.
They're going to have a very deep forward group next year. Like
much more fun, man.
I know.
I can't wait to watch this team. Like I feel like I know that we're not really fans of the team. Covering the team is really maybe not be a fan, but like this is almost getting me back into just like being excited for a lot of things.
You drive to the rink, and man, this is gonna sound like so privileged, but I was just about to say, like, we drive to the rink to go watch like Jimmy Vesey on the first line. You know what I mean? Like that's not a lot of fun. But
like the vibe in the media last year, like we were the only people in the rink watching games. The vibe from up there was horrible last year, man. Like everybody is just like, oh, like another day here at the game. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Like we were so privileged to be able to go to the game.
Yeah, like I don't want to make it sound like we're complaining, we had to go to games. I think
just even to like see that from the media would be like, you know, the fans would have been dealing with the same thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, if fans were at the games last year, imagine that final stretch after COVID. Like, what it would have been like, the atmosphere in the arena just lacking completely. And, like,
it was a weird feeling at times.
It really was. Like, there was times where, you know, the Canucks are down, like, 4-1, and it's just like, you know, like, well, I'll start the post game now. I won't even really watch the rest of this game. And I think that's what a lot of people were doing from home, though, too. Like, I'm sure a lot of people tuned out last year.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
I know a lot of people tuned out last year.
Yeah, check Twitter for evidence of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the final stretch of games, especially like that last game where they were like, playoffs are going on. There wasn't like a tweet in sight about the Canucks game. Yeah. Was it the Flames they were playing in that final game?
They lost a lot of casual fans during that. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends who, when the Canucks were in the bubble, they started asking me questions about my work and stuff. And that all kind of went away this past season. Like, start of the year, they were like, so what do you think? And like, I'm telling them, like, yeah, I think they'll be good.
It feels like it's coming back, though. Like, that's what it is.
I feel like we're getting the casual fans back.
Yeah, I think the casual fans will be back. The fact that you can go to Rogers Arena is great for casual fans as well. But the hardcores, the people that are listening, like, seriously, like, they're listening to a Canucks podcast in, what, the middle of August? Like, these people, the people that are listening to this show, they care a lot about this team. These aren't the casuals that are listening to this show. No. And I think people that listen to the show are smart enough to understand that, like, this team has really improved. And it's going to just be good for the whole fan base, not just the hardcores that listen to Canucks podcasts, that listen to us and the VanCast and, you know, the CreaseCast and all these other great Canucks podcasts that are out there. But, like, just the people that, like, you know, your regular uncle who just likes to wear a Canucks jersey and go to a game once or twice a year, or the guy who watches Saturday Night Hockey just to watch the Canucks. Like, these people are going to love how much better this Canucks team is next year. And I feel like this is just the start of, hopefully, you know, a team that starts to be competitive for playoffs again for a long time. So I think we'll wrap up there. We went a little off there, but we didn't tread into goalie waters.
Quick little prospect report, and then we'll wrap the show.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of prospects talked over the past couple of days for myself, talked to a lot of them. I think that one of the ones that was kind of interesting was Jack Malone, who we probably haven't talked about in a long time. Sixth round pick of the Canucks in 2019, maybe 18. He had to go back. Cornell canceled their season last year, so he went back to the USHL. put up close to a point a game, but man, he was so jacked up to get back to NCAA hockey. Like, you could just tell in the way he was saying it that, like, you know, the USHL was, like, not a great feeling for him last year, not a good vibe for him going back to the USHL. He's jacked up to get back to Cornell. They've had a lot of players graduate or move on from Cornell, so I think Malone's going to get a big spot with them next year. And then as for, you know, a lot of these Swedish guys started. Like, I was watching Arvid Kosmar play this morning, looked fine in his game. And Lucas Forsell, I like this. He's competing at SHL to make the team. He's with the SHL team right now, practicing with them. But also, we might just end up going back to J20 and kind of bouncing between the two leagues. He got the one game in last year, but that'll be exciting to see what he can do if he can crack the SHL team. Hugo Gabrielsson also practicing with his team. They have games this weekend coming up in Denmark, and they're heading there. He's playing in the Allsvenskan League. So some exciting stuff there. And you know, these guys are starting to crank up. Talk to a lot of the other NCAA players, and they're heading back either, you know, this past weekend, a couple went back. Some are heading back next week. Some are heading, like Aiden McDonough doesn't go until the start of September. So there's a lot of guys kind of in different boats right now for when they're getting back. But it feels like, you know, this is my time right now, because the prospects are about to start playing. Even like today was the first time I woke up early to watch a SHL game and see Arvid Kosmar play. So that was good. And some good stuff about Kosmar. Like, you know, exciting to see what he can do this year. He played on a second line today in his preseason game, and that's a huge difference from last year, where he averaged under 10 minutes a game and only scored one goal in 22 games at the SHL level. And the final guy, Dmitry Zlodiev, we talked about him a lot. I think he's going to blow up on people's maps this year, man. He's going to be at the World Juniors this year with a big role with Russia, potentially making his KHL debut as well. So that's a little bit of the prospects wrap-up, and just the one goalie thing, Aku Koskenvo.
Yep,
is going back to the U20 leagues in Finland, because you said he can't go pro because he's going to
Harvard. Yeah, just NCAA has a lot of different eligibility rules. I remember this was something that happened with Coquitlam Express goaltender Clay Stevenson a few years back, just overage, just different little things. But right, the main one for Aku here is that he can't play pro hockey and then go play in the NCAA. So that's what's holding Koskenvo back and playing in the junior leagues.
Perfect. We'll wrap up the prospect report there. Not much else to get into. The only thing, it's like, you know, and we don't really discuss it a lot here on this podcast, but the Pettersson and Hughes deals, like, they're always on the back of people's mind, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time talking about it. We're kind of just waiting for it to get done, right? And I wonder, like, I'm not worried. I hope that they're working to make a deal happen. From what I've heard in the Canucks organization, a lot of guys on days off right now, you know, and probably well-earned at this point. I'm sure that Jim Benning's still trying to work out a deal, but I've heard that a lot of guys are on their days off in the Canucks organization, so I wouldn't expect a deal anytime soon, but it wouldn't shock me either to see it happen. Like, I think that these conversations are happening. As long as we're not going into training camp without it, right? I feel like 2 weeks before training camp, that's like the date when I would start to be like, I don't like the way this, and I don't even want to say worried. I just feel like that's not the way I want the situation to play out.
That's not the way anybody wants the situation
especially
to play
out. With your two cornerstone guys. Yeah. Like,
you don't need any distractions to start this season. Absolutely. Especially with the season you had last year.
But you know what? The precedent has been set by...
Precedent.
Precedent. Is that what I said?
You said president.
President. President has said... No. I mean, Horvat, his deal goes into September. September 7th, I believe, is when he signed his deal. Brock Besser went into training camp.
Yeah, missed the first day, got ragged on a lot by his teammates for missing the first bag skate from Travis.
I think he missed the whole training camp.
Yes.
I was there in Victoria.
Yeah, did he miss the entire... No, I think he was there the last day. He got there for like the last day or something. Maybe. It doesn't matter.
I don't remember doing media with him, though. That's what I...
Yeah.
So maybe I don't know. We have to check, stat check that. I don't know where he stat check a training camp. Maybe we'll figure that out. But yeah, you know, he went into training camp without a contract. Well, I think the thing for me is like the 2 week before training camp date, I would love to have everything signed, sealed, and delivered by then. You know, that's what I want to happen for this team. Especially with their two cornerstone players. So we're not, like, people are probably wondering why we're not talking about it a lot. I think when we start to get closer to that 2 week prior to training camp, we'll start to ramp it up and, you know, start to give our thoughts a little bit about maybe why we're worried, why we don't like why the deal's not done. But for now, like, a lot of guys are in time off. The agents are taking time off. The players are taking time off. The management's taking time off. If a deal happens, great. And we'll dive into it. Maybe on like an emergency episode, if both deals get done at the same time. But until then, we're just waiting for the deal to come. I'm not worried, I don't think, at all at this point, though.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you there. There's no sense worrying about it. Go enjoy the sweltering heat.
Yeah. Maybe have a squish beverage out in the back porch.
There you go.
Cold one. Try and find the lemonade, folks. People haven't tried the lemonade. Get out there and try the lemonade. I'm waiting on my Jack Rathbone rookie cards to get here. Excited about that. But we'll wrap things up here on the podcast. It's been good to come in and not talk goalies. So I still have a pain in my heart from listening to that.
Look, man, I agree with you. Like, I didn't want to talk goalies as much as we ended up. It's just what
you were out of control about? On Friday quads. You were out of control.
Whatever. I've had my goalie fix. I had no interest in talking about goalies today. Be honest, yeah,
that's true. You might be good for, I think, like that was about a month and a half.
Yeah, month and a half. Worse.
We will not talk about Artur Sillows at all for a couple
of
minutes.
Oh, don't say that name in here. I'm going to start.
Yeah, well, we're not doing that. We're not doing that here. All right, so we'll wrap things up there. For my goaltender, nut friend, and co-host, David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber. Thank you so much. That was a bad exit. For tuning in to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.